everyone. Welcome to the Under 30 Chit Chat, where we talk to Forbes Middle East 30 Under 30 listers who are changing the world around them and shaping the future of the region. I'm Layana Bishkayer, and today I'm very glad to be joined by Matteo Boff. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for the invite. I'm very honored to be here today with you.
I'm really happy that we met. Actually, I think the last time we met was in December during our Under 30 event in Abu Dhabi. Yes. So we have a lot of things to talk about. And I remember that day we spoke a bit about your story in a panel. But today we're going to go just deeper into that story.
Fantastic.
So Matteo, before we, you know, we go in deep into the business and what you guys are doing today, can you tell us, for those who don't know you, who you are, you know, how would you define yourself to others?
So yeah, I used to be a very boring Swiss banker. My family used to be in banking in Switzerland since many, many years and generations. So my destiny was to start working in a bank from a very early stage, early age. In Switzerland, it's legal to start working at the age of 14. It's called apprenticeship. It's like a vocational path. And of course, I was not good enough at school to go to university. So my family pushed me gently to start working in the banking system. And yeah, I started at the age of 14 and I worked for around 10 years in the same bank and did my army service in Switzerland, which is still mandatory. I did my bachelor in marketing and communication during the weekend. Mm-hmm. And week nights. And yeah, I realized that I'm not done for banking. As I was not a good student, I was not necessarily a very good employee, and I didn't really feel myself fulfilled in managing somebody else's money. So yeah, I decided to resign, went to New York to study English, which was a language which I was missing at the time. And yeah, after New York, some bad story and bad situation pushed me to find Dubai as my oasis of opportunity in the middle of the desert.
And, you know, you've mentioned a lot of interesting phases that you've been through, and we will talk about these phases in details. But you mentioned one interesting thing. I know, it's as you said, it's legal to work at an early age in Switzerland. But joining the bank industry, was that, you know, that came from just from the fact that your family has been in that sector for a long time? Or did it also come from the fact that you were interested into, you know, pursuing that?
At that age, it's very difficult to decide what you want, even for lunch or dinner. So you are in an age that you don't really know what you are and what you want. So for me, it was an easy choice because the field in front of me was prepared. I didn't have much to think. And as I said, university was a no-go because I didn't have the capability of pursuing a higher level of education. So earning money, it's something as well that was interesting for me and start to became independent financially. That's probably the way that pushed me to take this decision.
But do you think was that like just way too early for responsibility to handle? Because as you said, that it was too early for you to maybe know what exactly do you want to do. So how did that feel? You know, was it or was it really good for you in building your personality? How was that?
Yeah, you have to consider at the beginning, you are not managing capitals of the clients. You basically do coffee, make copies and just open the door to clients and help managing the administration of some of your managers. So I think that was extremely important to understand how to enter in the world of the adults. So 14, 15 years old, you learn about being punctual, about being respectful, how to behave in front of clients or superiors. So that's, for me, was the biggest lesson that I learned out of my apprenticeship, out of the small banking career that I had.
And then, as you said, you moved to, you know, you did 2 years of army service because it's mandatory in Switzerland, as far as I know. And then you moved to, as after that, to New York to study English. So how was that move to a completely new country, doing a completely new adventure, learning something new? How was that era for you?
I was scared because I used to my village, my 4 or 5 good friends, watching ice hockey, going around the Alps and chilled in the nature, and moving to the first big city I ever saw was scary. The noise really bothered me at the beginning. The colors, the smell was very overwhelming, but I learned how to live in this type of environment and I loved it. And it was just an English course, which I embraced. And I think this as well helped me to move through the decision of moving to Dubai, which was another big city, and the different culture, the different opportunity that a city like New York can offer reflected in my decision after to move to Dubai.
But why Dubai specifically? Like, it's way too far from New York, it's way too far from Switzerland. Maybe there are some similarities, but why Dubai, not any other city?
So if I have to be honest, Dubai, I didn't really know exactly where it was 12, 13 years ago. I went through a very bad phase of my life where I lost my mom, and I went through a very bad divorce. And a friend of mine, which was since now the greatest support that I ever had in my life, told me, I will help you to move to this difficult situation. I have some contacts in Dubai. Why you don't try to go to this new place, the new center of the world? And at that stage, I have nothing to lose. So I really took the opportunity. I jumped into the unknown. And I came to Dubai in 2016. And this is now my home away from home.
And as far as I know that when you came to Dubai, you first established a startup that did not do that well. So can you tell us about that startup? What was the idea behind it? And why didn't it work?
So I wanted to reinvent myself, the new Steve Jobs or Jeff Bezos of the situation. I have no knowledge in technology, no experience. And I met a group of friends at that time that had this idea of creating an application to create a short video for the food and beverage industry and the hospitality industry. And I thought it was a very good idea. That was even before TikTok. And I think the idea was good. And we decided to move to India with these two friends. And we create this company, this app. And at the end of the day, we lost a lot of money. The app was not performing. And I came back to Dubai with two solutions. One, to go back to Switzerland, or to reinvent myself. And luckily enough, I took the second decision.
But how was, that failure to you emotionally? How did you comprehend it? Because, to have that big of a dream, to chase that dream with a lot of courage, and then you suddenly lose everything. And I remember you telling me back in December that you actually lost all of your savings. So how did you handle that emotionally?
So in that moment for me was very difficult, but it's something that teach me a very big lesson, that I'm not built to create myself startups. I rather invest in people with good idea, good energy, a lot of time, and no money. So I realized entrepreneur for me is not create something from zero, but is believing in somebody that has good potential with no money. So that's what I started doing, investing very small capital into extremely early startup. And along the way, I was able to do some exit and reinvest the capital. So for me, that was the realization, Matteo, you're not, again, a good student, a good employee, a good creator of startup. Maybe what you can do is using your ability on discovering something new.
That's really interesting, because for some reason, I personally, although I've worked a lot with, I met a lot of investors and entrepreneurs, but to me, the two words are kind of similar. Whoever is an investor is, at the end of the day, is an entrepreneur or a businessman. But then now you mentioned that maybe they are not the same exact thing. So can you tell us from your point of view and from your experience, how different, or what's the difference between an investor and an entrepreneur?
That's a very tough question. An investor is somebody that necessarily doesn't have the knowledge to create something, as I mentioned, but is somebody that has a financial power that can be distributed or invested or gambled, if you can say, in a good idea or in a good person. So an entrepreneur is somebody that wants to create something, has ambition, and has the idea and not necessarily money. So that's create a perfect match between the two party. Again, it's for me a fantastic opportunity to discover great people that not necessarily had the same luck that I had in life, in being born in Switzerland and raised there. But at the same time, they're way more ambitious than me, and they put so much energy. And for me, it's a learning curve. So me as an investor, I think I learn way more than entrepreneur learn from me.
And How can you define a good entrepreneur, a good founder? Because as you mentioned, you invest in very, very early stage in a startup. So at that point, you don't have the numbers really to tell you if you are. So it's more or less, as you mentioned, it's a gambling process. So, and I know that you have a very special way in getting to know your founder. So tell me about that. How do you tell a good founder from?
The 51%, in my opinion, and many people will not agreeing with me, it's 51%. It's made by the human factor. I scout most of the startups which I invest my private capital from startup competition in university. So we're talking about 17, 18, maybe 20 years old young guys or girls that have an idea and they use it maybe as a program for the university. And I participate in this like Shark Tank competition or Dragon's Den. And at that stage, the idea is very rough, probably not even prototype. But if I see somebody with a very good potential and a good manner, and the presentation doesn't have to be perfect, the business plan doesn't have to be perfect, but is the person behind that give me the confidence or this click? It's very gut feeling. It's difficult to explain.
That's interesting. And you know, you mentioned that you founded your own startup that did not work. So you went into venture capital. But until reaching that point, or until reaching a point where, you know, now you have a VC that's well known, that everyone wants to, you know, be part of it. How many no's or how many rejections did you have to take until you got your first yes?
So basically, the VC that we created, it's made by a bit crazy people with some capital aside, and as well that they want to invest in people and in the impact that they want to create for the societies. We are very focused in impact startup, and we pull this group of friends, family, and mostly fool that wants to not leave anymore the money in the bank account with zero interest or negative interest, but invest in young mind that can shape a better future. So we had to go through a simple process, sitting together around a table with a pizza and decided, okay, let's create this small venture that can has a positive impact and as well create some money, because at the end of the day, the goal is of course to create a financial benefit.
And just to clarify, maybe we did not mention that explicitly, that you today are part of Zebra Ventures, which invests in early stage startup, very early stage. And I, as you mentioned, that you guys invest mostly in impact startups, which are actually, you know, which means that it's a business that has a potential to have a good impact on different aspects, whether it's environmental or not. So there's this idea, and I remember we talked about that as well back in December, that, you know, it's very hard to do well by doing good. Mm-hmm. So how can you, like, how can you actually, as like, how can you make a return on an investment with, you know, doing good at the same time through impact startups?
I think investment goes through three different pillars of sustainability. So you have the social impact. Social sustainability means whatever you invest in a company or a startup has to do good for the society. So pay goods the employee and give the right access to holiday, for example, and be balanced between men and women. So this is the social aspect of sustainability that we are looking when we invest in a company. The second one is, of course, the environment. So the product or the service doesn't have to harm the environment. And back to your question, the financial sustainability is extremely important. What we do, it's not a charitable program. What we do is investing with an idea of a return of investment. The difference from a conventional investment maybe can be the timeline. So what we look is not a quick return, but it's a return that can really benefit people, the environment, and as well our pocket and the pocket of the founder. So we are not greedy. We want to support the founder. We want to create a network between the startups. But of course, if we want to invest more, we need more money to come in our pocket as well.
And do you remember the first investment that you guys did? How is it doing today?
Yes, actually, I'm very happy that Ashai Bave from Amity University is actually as well one of the Forbes 30 Under 30 in 2023, if I remember correctly. And he's doing very good. So the company is in India. We are selling worldwide, and he's a very, very good guy. Not all the startups that I invested are doing so good, but for me, he's a I have my a piece, a small piece of my heart is in this startup, and of course Sasha is a great person, and I'm sure he will do very, very good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think because they are doing really well and they have a really interesting idea, they were also, as you mentioned, recognized on the list, and hopefully we'll get to talk to them very soon. Do you also remember maybe the biggest failure or the biggest, the worst investment that you guys have made throughout the way?
I have a few very bad investments. Of course, the very first startup that was very hard, but was a very good lesson. Along the way, I had invested in Switzerland in some company that unfortunately was in the perfect time, in the perfect moment, in the perfect place. Everything was fantastic, but again, the human factor made this startup fail, unfortunately. So that's as well taught me how much important is the person behind the startup, because as an investor, you're not necessarily involved in the day-to-day operation. Especially for me, I invested in more than 10 startups, so for me it will be impossible to dedicate 2-3 hours a day per startup. It's physically impossible. So the person that managed the company or the idea or the project or the product has to be really good, and we are going back to the 51% of the human factor.
Absolutely. And, you mentioned that you have invested in startups here, somewhere else around the world. But if we want to focus on the Middle East as an environment for startups, and we know that it's kind of booming nowadays, what kind of unique opportunities have you noticed in the startup ecosystem in the Middle East?
In the Middle East, it's very interesting, the ecosystem for VC, so for investing for big company, family office, slightly smaller company, and you have few groups of angel investor. What was missing is that very, very little investor are risking capital into the extremely early stage. This is why Zebra Ventures were created, was not necessarily create super quick and big return, is to really give an opportunity to the founders to really get the first $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 and kickstart their idea. And most of the students are from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, so there are very little opportunity for them to use their own money, but they are very dedicated, and we are very happy to be probably the only one in the region that can help them through their dreams.
From your point of view, how do you see, or what's your vision for Zebra Ventures? Because as you mentioned, you guys, what you do is very, very unique. It takes a lot of effort and belief, and sometimes gambling, to believe in such an early startup. And it's not it's not an easy thing for an entrepreneur to, invest in such a risky environment. So where do you see Zebra Ventures in the future?
So at the moment, we are doing something that I think it's good or very good. It's sponsoring event in university here in the UAE and in Switzerland at the moment, where we bring a small cash prize for the best startups or the most unique startup or the best pitch, for example. And this supports the university. And at the same time for us is having a platform where we don't have to really organize the events. We get 20 maybe startup in one day or half a day pitch, so we have a big pool where we can select the good gems or the hidden gem in the UAE, and of course these are very early stage, so kind of cheap for us to go and get some shares. I think the sponsorship in the university is something that we will continue to pursue, and one day maybe organizing a startup competition or on our own. Yeah.
Hopefully, and I really look forward to that. And if we want to look back at your entire journey, whether at Zebra Ventures or the other startups or back in Switzerland, if you want to, look at it in a flashback, what would you define as the biggest challenge that you have faced throughout that journey?
Ooh, biggest challenge? I will say invest the right amount of money in the right startup. If I was able to go back, I would have not probably invest in certain startups that make me lose money, and I would have doubled the investment in some of them that are doing very good. So the timing, it's probably a problem or factor of unsuccess, and as well recognizing the start for what they really are. But this is part of the game, and it's a problem, it's a challenge, but it's as well make it fun and a bit of risk, put a bit of pepper in my daily life. So that's for me is a challenge, and as well is a great opportunity, and is a pleasure for me to be in this type of environment.
Absolutely. And speaking of your daily life, if you want to know more about how your day goes, can you take us through your day, a day in the life of Matteo?
Yes. I have to admit, I'm not a 5 a.m. club person. I have to admit, I don't wake up extremely early. I don't do yoga at 6 in the morning on the beach. I'm not this type of person. I tend to invest my time mostly in networking events, which are in the evening, where I have the opportunity of participating in different business council, for example, the Swiss Business Council, yeah. French, German, Italian, or American CHAM as well. And that's for me is a good investment of time where I can be more myself and surround myself with opportunity. A normal day, it's going through different emails, different board meeting reports, looking into the different startups and how to create value, how me as an investor and board member in most of the case can bring value to the startups, creating this type of opportunity, new markets, for example. So this is a very unique day. Every day is different because there is so many dynamics that change every single day. But that's the nice part. So I don't have to take many decisions during the day, but some of them are quite important to pivot or to increase the opportunity of a startup to succeed.
And there is something interesting that you mentioned, that you, maybe you're not the 5 a.m. club person, you don't do the regular things that we hear founders or entrepreneurs or investors doing. And I told you, I was speaking a few days back to a VC founder, mm-hmm. and I noticed that some of the founders or entrepreneurs find it really difficult to balance between their work and their lives mm-hmm. Or personal life. And you told me that you have a family now. So how can you actually balance or find the balance between the business and a personal lifestyle?
So I'm lucky enough to have a fantastic wife, which is a teacher here in Sharjah, actually. Mm. And she works 4 days a week because she works in Sharjah, as I mentioned. And the fact that we have plenty of spare time to spend together, this helps me a lot to just take time for myself and to spend with her. And during summer, the hot period here in the UAE, I tend to travel with her in Asia for a few reasons. One is it's cheaper sometimes to travel to Southeast Asia than do nothing in Dubai, because Dubai is quite an expensive city. And as well to explore new culture and new places and find new opportunity of investment. This happened, for example, when I went in Mexico and I found a fantastic startup, I invested in it, and now this is giving me a 5x of my investment. So I was in holiday, I would say, and I had the opportunity to find this group of entrepreneurs from a university there. And I invested the money, and that was casualty, maybe being in the right place in the right moment. But you have to create your opportunity, and people that just tend to stay in the same place, same environment, it's difficult for them to open the mind to new opportunity or have access to new opportunity.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we spoke, you've worn a lot of hats throughout your life, from a banker to maybe a student at some point, entrepreneur, founder, investor, a husband now. So which of these characters do you identify more, or do you think that has impacted you or shaped who you are today, actually?
So the one that scares me the most is the father role, which is hopefully coming soon, still this year. That's the scary part, the most exciting startup of my life.
It is.
Of course, the head of being a good husband reflect into different roles as an investor, being a good person, being try to be an entrepreneur is a different aspect of my personality. I will not say, okay, I was in the army, so Part of my personality is related to be part of the army, and being a banker helps me to crush the numbers when I evaluate a startup. So I will maybe consider as a multiple hat, multiple personality. So I'm not Matteo the investor. I'm Matteo the person that loves to grab new opportunities as a husband, as a future father, as an investor, and etc.
And throughout all of these phases, what's one value you think that you have learned and you still hold on in every meeting, in every, you know, part of your life? What's one value you think is the most important that you've learned?
I think kindness. My mom passed when I was very young, and she always told me, be kind, be respectful, and this will reflect you in everything that you do in every day. And you never know what can happen to you, and we are privileged. Again, I find myself very privileged in what happened to my life so far. So I think being kind to the next person is very important. And though you don't have to be kind because you expect something back, just smile and take every opportunity that life gives you as a gift.
Absolutely. And, you know, after all of these trials and errors and the things you've been through, did you reach a point where you have a definition of what success is? Because a lot of people define it differently. And this is actually a question I always ask to the people that I have on the show, because they define it very differently. So how does Matteo define success?
Again, very difficult question. Success for me is being independent, have the freedom to decide your proper fate. So be the captain of your own boat and create positive impact wherever you go and or whatever you do, and leave a positive mark on this planet. Again, many people have many problems. I try to or tend to identify small problem and not necessarily important, and dedicate my time and my energy to things that really matter. That can be family, can be a relationship with the people that surround me.
Absolutely. And we said that you've tried so many things, but is there just one thing that you still dream of trying or doing? Is there anything that you actually want to do that you still didn't try?
Yeah, so my dream is to end up in Forbes 50 under 50, so I don't know if I can already ask for it. No, I'm joking. No, for me, traveling, I think it's very important, and give a good life to my family, and be respectful, and live the moment. We never know what can happen to us. So yeah, every morning with a smile. And it's easy to say, and again, being really knowledgeable about the luck that I got in my life. So that's important.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really look forward to seeing, you know, the next steps and the next journey that you're going to go through. Thank you so much, Matteo, for being with us and for sharing your story and all of these adventures with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And it's for me an honor to be here.